Hello and welcome to another edition of Critical Q&A, the show where I answer your questions based on what you've left for me in the comments section below of my Q&A videos or have sent to me by email at askchrisshelton@gmail.com. Last week I mentioned some really good news, in regards to the numbers and Scientology and that sort of thing, and I was a little vague about it, I guess. Somebody asked me, well, how many are there now or something, and it looks like, you know, for all intents and purposes, the actual number of active Scientologists in the world now is very tiny. I mean, we're talking about maybe 15,000 people, 20,000, including all of the staff and Sea Org. I mean, it's really getting down there, and we have really good reason to believe that that's the case, and so that's really good, and I take the lesson of Scientology in my life and my experiences with it and everything, and I'm working now to expand on that and branch out to other subjects and areas that have to do with similar sorts of things, other destructive cult groups and other practices of undue influence and things like that I want to be talking about. So you'll see more and more of that on my channel as time goes on here because let's face it, Scientology is dying. And it's actually, I've said for a while, it's dead and it just doesn't know it. I think that's actually a really more accurate statement, is it's the inertia that keeps that organization going is frankly amazing. Because it really shouldn't be going, and I'm really questioning right now a lot of long-held assumptions that people have had about Scientology, very much myself included, including the idea that maybe that there might not be billions of dollars sitting around in their bank accounts, and they might not be as big and bad and powerful as they've been made out to be all this time. It's been 20 years since there was any real effective lawsuits or any sort of judicial action done by the Church of Scientology against its critics or against people who are speaking out against it. And I think that that is telling. And I think that there are other indicators, as, you know, noted on, mostly reported daily on Tony Ortega's blog called The Underground Bunker, that indicate that this group is very, very much on their way out, as an organized group. It's going to take, the end result, the end game is unpredictable, but the fact that it's tanking is undeniable, I think, at this point. So anyway, let's get on with your questions, because you guys are keep asking me these wonderful and interesting questions about Scientology and other things. So let's go ahead and get to your questions. Harold, on my final try in Scientology, I realized that there are no real friendship connections between public Scientologists, and it seems to be frowned upon by the system itself. Every minute is monitored by staff, and there's a great suppression of mutual communication and friendship. Public and the church keep to themselves and avoid each other mostly. The only place that seems to be safe to meet and chit-chat is in the sauna on a purification rundown. So bad that one woman was in the sauna nightly for 6 months. She was only looking for a Scientology man showing off her body while checking out prospects. Got one? Done. Question is, are you aware of how disconnected these public Scientologists actually are between each other and how badly communication is blocked by the system itself and why? It's an interesting question, Harold, because it doesn't really match up with my experience in Scientology as a public and staff member and eventually Sea Org member. The public I knew were actually, friendly with each other and that sometimes socialized, got together outside of the church, things like that. Certainly socialized and got together in the church. I'm curious where this happened or where it was that your experience was, because I'm not saying that your experience didn't happen or is not valid, and I'm frankly fascinated by it, that it was so rigid and controlled amongst the public Scientologists, because that wasn't really my experience with it. Of course, at the same time, the system lends itself to that, and there is certainly, because of the ethics system and the reporting system that goes on in Scientology, there's certainly every reason for public to not totally trust one another or reveal too much about themselves to other people because of that whole KR system. And I think maybe, in fact, it might be a bit of a reflection of the changes over the years in Scientology that this has been your experience with it? Because it sounds, I mean, I'm sort of inferring this from your question that this is more recent than, say, you know, my experience as a public in the 80s and as a staff member in the 90s and then into the 2000s as a Sea Org member. So maybe more recently, you know, things with public are more separate and divided and that sort of thing, which would also, you know, tend to indicate the breakdown of the group as a social group, right? Which would be pretty interesting. I think in terms of answering your question as to why, well, I do believe that the system itself is an authoritarian system. It's a totalitarian system that exerts a high degree of control on its members and so wants to make sure, especially in the last couple of years, really coming down hard on any dissent or any indications that the person might be wavering in their fervor or enthusiasm for Scientology. They're really on the lookout for that stuff now and come down very hard on it. So I can see why there might be more, you know, more control being exerted by the staff and the Sea Org and whatnot on the public. So I think that is just part of the nature of Scientology itself. I've said since day one that destruction is in its DNA, and I still believe that I was more right than I actually knew about that, because it's, and it is that way at every level of Scientology. So, Jonathan Mark. In Going Clear, Mark Marty Rathman said that he thought that Miscavige, in a misguided way, actually believed in Scientology. What is your opinion? Well, you know, Marty Rathman knew David Miscavige and worked side by side with him for many years, so far be it from me to contradict him, but I'm going to contradict him because I don't believe, from all the indications I can see as a more objective observer, that Miscavige truly believes in Scientology. The indications that tell me that are, one of the biggest ones is that Miscavige himself doesn't do Scientology. He is surrounded by Scientology. He lives in the world of Scientology, and yet he doesn't practice it. He certainly doesn't practice it in terms of trying to improve conditions around him or with the people around him, because he's, you know, by all reports and accounts, an extremely intolerant, rude, insensitive man. You know, that's how he is presented behind the scenes. And that's not Scientology. That's not following the principles of Scientology. He doesn't do Scientology, meaning he doesn't go into session. He doesn't get audited on Scientology processes. He doesn't train as a Scientologist. He's not a trained auditor. You know, I think the story is that when he was a kid, when he was like 12 or 13 years old, he hit a pre-clear. That's a documented story that is told by Karen De La Carriere. And that he did not complete his auditor training and hasn't done any further training since then. So he might be an expert on it in terms of having read about it and lived it and that sort of thing, but he doesn't actually partake in it. And the other indicator that tells me that he is not a true believer is he doesn't get the Sea Org to do Scientology. He doesn't get the Sea Org members to go through the auditing and the training and really put it there that they need to make it to the OT levels. In Scientology, the OT levels are put there by Hubbard as the only thing that is going to salvage the universe. They're the only things that bring lasting life and happiness and real spiritual freedom. So wouldn't it make sense that every single Sea Org member, the core group of Scientology, and the group that David Miscavige is the head of, wouldn't it make sense that that group would be the first in line to do the OT levels, to get the OT powers and abilities and free their, you know, their end theta, their, you know, all their past trauma and stress and everything else that's existed for them for, you know, trillions and trillions of years? Wouldn't it make sense that the Sea Org would be the guys you'd want to have be the most able and the most aware and the most spiritually conscious, right? And also the most sold on what Scientology is actually all about, because they would know all the intimate secrets and truths that Hubbard had discovered. Instead, the Sea Org are the last people in line to get any auditing or training in Scientology. And that's a direct reflection of David Miscavige, because that's the way he runs the show. He runs that ship that way, right? Because what he wants is what Scientology does. You know, they've been on a roll for 10 years now, 10 plus years, to do these ideal orgs and do all this fundraising and sell all these books and all that. That's him. That all comes from him. So if he wanted everybody in the Sea Org to go up to the highest levels of Scientology, they'd be there. And the fact that they're not, you know, the very, very rare exception, I can literally count on one hand the number of Sea Org members I saw in the 17 years that I was involved in that who actually made it as Sea Org members to the OT levels, right? One hand. So how does that work, right? How is that demonstration of being a Scientologist or being a true believer in Scientology if you're not even pushing your own people to do it? So I don't think that that in his own bumbling, fumbling way or misguided way that he is actually a believer in Scientology. I think he knows that it doesn't work. I think he is fully aware of the fact that it's all a big con. And I think he's just running with it because it serves his interest in terms of him getting money and power. You know, he just certainly doesn't have any problem with, getting people to do what he wants them to do. So that's my take on that. Leo Taxel, what are all the courses or training that cover communication in Scientology? Success Through Communication and the TRs, or are there more? I ask because I routinely hear this mentioned as a positive gain of Scientology that hooked people. Do you think communication is one thing Scientology actually helps people with, or is the hypnotizing element of it too damaging? Okay, there's a number of courses in Scientology that have these drills on the courses as part of the course. You do these drills called the TRs, or the training routines. And the ones that deal with communication are TRs 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay, so there's these five basic drills that cover communication. There are other TRs or other training routines that cover other things, but we won't talk about those right now. So there are different levels of skill with these drills in the same way that there's different levels of skills with all kinds of drills. You could do, fireman drills where you could drill, rolling out a hose and pointing it at something that's, burning and then shooting water at it, right? You could do a drill to do that. And the first time you do those kind of drills, or the earlier levels of those drills, might be simply, unrolling the fire hose and taking it out and pointing it and, learning how to do just that very basic, simple action. And then you get good at it, and then, okay, good, so now you know how to do that. And then they take it to the next level where you run with the hose and there's an actual fire there and you got to like actually turn it on and put it out, right? And then you eventually get up to a level where, blindfolded, you can run into a building with a fire hose and it's on and you can control it and you can put out, some fire that consumes an entire room, which if you try to do that on your first day, you'd just be a blithering mess, right? You'd probably let go of the thing and it would knock you upside the head and kill you, right? So there's levels of these. And it's the same way in Scientology, right, with these training routines. The Success Through Communications course is the very, very most basic communications course in Scientology. That's the one that all the public do when they first get into Scientology if they want to do a communications class. It has a number of these. The TR 0 to 4 are broken down into simpler drills, and they're not quite TR 0 to 4. They're kind of a watered-down version of them. So, for example, you don't sit there for hours and hours sitting there looking at somebody else, right? And there isn't really a lot of the bull bait that we'll talk about, right? That doesn't really happen a lot. On the Success Through Communications course, or the STCC course, right? So that just gives you a dash of communication skills, but it teaches you how to Look at somebody else when you're talking to them. Be looked at by somebody else when you're talking to somebody. Teaches you how to deliver a command or a question so that the other person actually does get it. They do hear you. And also, when they say something back to you, it teaches you to, you know, acknowledge them, to say, okay, I got it, or I heard you, or thank you, or you say something back to the person so they're not sitting there going, did you hear me or not, you know? And it teaches you other, you know, skills, like how to get your question answered and that sort of thing, right? So that's your STCC course. Now, when you move into the upper levels where you're going into, more what they call major services in Scientology, right? The academy course room. You go from the public courses, which is Division 6 of Scientology, and the newbies, right, the noobs, to the actually now you're going to do real Scientology. Now you're moving into this course room that they call the academy, and that's in Division 4. In that place, the first level of communications classes is what's called the TRs and Objectives co-audit course, or the what I don't have that anymore now. Now they call it the survival rundown. Basically, it's the earliest level where you're hitting those TRs 0 to 4, right? And you're introduced to those actual training routines where you sit down TR 0 and you confront somebody else, and then TR 1 where you deliver a command across to somebody. And then TR2, where you receive a communication from somebody and you acknowledge it. And then TR3, where you say the same question over and over again to somebody. And then TR4, where you're doing this repetitive questioning and the person might throw things at you that you don't expect, you don't see coming. And you have to deal with that and then get back onto your question so that, you know, if somebody's trying to distract you or something like that, you can still deal with that and get back to your question. And all of that is designed to teach you how to be an auditor, an auditor in Scientology, so you can actually run Scientology processes. You're not expected to walk around in life saying, do birds fly, do birds fly, do birds fly. That would be crazy. But in an auditing session in Scientology, there are many auditing processes that require you to ask the same question over and over and over again. Like, you know, there could be a process like recall a time that was really real to you, right? And the guy goes, oh yeah, you know, when I graduated high school. And you go, great. Recall a time that was really real to you. And the guy goes, oh well, a time when I got married, that was really real. Great. Recall a time that was really real to you, right? And you're going to keep, the auditor's going to continue asking the same question. And this could go on for a really long time. And the guy keeps, you know, the guy who's getting audited keeps looking for answers. So that all begins on that first level course, right? And when the drills are done, when the TRs are done on that course, they're done not as tough as they could be, right? They're done at a fairly light gradient or a light level of toughness. Just enough, really, to get the guy to be able to do it and be able to run an auditing session with another person so that they can get themselves into auditing and start doing Scientology on each other. That's what the whole purpose of that is called. That's why it's called a co-audit, where I audit you, you audit me, and we're auditing each other back and forth. So it's really just getting your foot in the pool and sort of getting going on it. The next level up from that is the professional TRs course, where you go to the professional level. And that's where you're considered learning how to do these TRs at a level where you're supposed to be able to handle any situation with communication alone, right? With just these TRs 0 to 4. So you're supposed to be able to confront anybody, no matter what they're doing, no matter what they're saying to you. And this is where you do the 2 hours of staring at somebody. And it has to be perfect, and you can't flub it, you can't mess it up, you can't blink or twitch or fidget or be moving around or anything. And of course, people blink their eyes, don't get me wrong, but they, you know, you have to sit there and just look at the other guy, totally still. You're just sitting there. And you can't get up into the bathroom, you can't be scratching yourself or anything like that. You got to just sit there. And you got to do that they time it from beginning to end, 2 straight hours, right? And it could take you 10, 15, 20, 50 hours before you get a 2-hour stretch where you're actually doing it and you feel comfortable doing it and you feel like you're doing it right. Because you're not supposed to be falling asleep or flitting off and thinking about other things. You're supposed to be there comfortably confronting, right? That's the idea of TR0. And so the professional TRs course is the course where you do that for a 2-hour stretch. And then you have to do what's called bull bait, right? Which is TR0 bull bait. So once you've sat there for 2 hours and you've just, you know, you can just look at somebody for 2 hours and not be thrown off or anything, now they're going to start throwing insults at you. The person who's working with you is going to sit there and tell you jokes or try to, you know, they can't touch you and tickle you and stuff like that, but they're going to try to, you know, say things that are going to throw you off and make you laugh or make you upset. And if you react, that's a flunk, right? And then you get a flunk, you know, flunk, you laughed, and then they say start, right? And then you get back to it. And you're supposed to be able to deal with, you know, any bull baiting so that no matter what anybody says to you, you can just sit there and look at them and be there comfortably confronting them, right? And then you do the TR1, you know, delivering commands, and TR2 and all that. And I forgot to mention TR2.5. So TR2 is where you're acknowledging somebody. TR2.5 is when you're half acknowledging somebody, like a situation where you want the person to continue talking. So the guy says, the drill is the guy says something to you and then you say, mm-hmm, or yeah, or go on. You know, it's a 2.5. It's I heard you, but I want you to keep talking, right? And by giving the person the idea that he's being heard and that you want him to continue talking, right? So that's the 2.5. And then the 3 is the repetitive one, and 4 is the repetitive one, but then they're going to try to throw you off, right, with weird oddball things that they say. And those are drilled on the professional TRs course at the toughest gradient, the toughest level you can drill. You just hours and hours of this stuff. So I think in describing these drills, you can see how there could be some value in doing them, how it could help a person who's maybe shy or introverted or, you know, has a hard time communicating with people, how it could drill in or train them to be more open, to be more receptive to other people's communication and to dealing with things with communication. Because when you do that ProTRs course, right, and by the way, the ProTRs course was the first course I ever did in Scientology. I jumped right to the high level. I don't know why I did, but I did. But when you do that course, you really feel like you can deal with people, right? In terms of communication, right? Not necessarily like antagonistically, like I'm gonna deal with people. I mean with communication. The whole point of the course is to teach a person how to handle any situation, no matter how rough, with communication alone. Now, does that mean that you're going to talk down, you know, somebody who's trying to commit suicide? No, you're not trained to do that, right? But you should be able to be, you should be in a position where with your communication skills, you could be easily trained to do that. You know, are you going to talk down somebody who's pointing a gun at you? You know, well, theoretically, if you're well drilled on these TRs, you should be able to do that, right? Now, are you going to? I don't know. I guess it depends on who's holding the gun, you know. But Scientologists think they could. Now, of course, the irony of this is that look at how Scientologists deal with critics. They don't deal with critics, right? You've seen video of them being very antagonistic or just standing there, staunchly just standing there, and they don't handle it with communication. And I think that speaks volumes about where Scientologists are really at in terms of their communication skills, right? So there's a little bit of a, I don't know the word, there's an irony there or there's a contradiction there where they're trained into thinking that they can handle any social situation, no matter how rough, with communication alone. And yet they don't do that. Because when you go protest at a church or you confront a Scientologist and try to ask them about the contradictions and the things that don't make sense or the things that Scientology does that are not good, the human trafficking and all that sort of thing, they fold. They turn around and they run away, right? Or they get very hostile and they want to kick the crap out of you, you know? So I think that's odd. You know, I don't think that bodes well for the actual value of those communication classes, right? So I think it only takes it to a level, but I like all things in Scientology, I don't think it takes it to the level they say it takes it to, right? It's not, you can handle anybody ever with anything, you know, that they come at you with communication alone, right? The evidence doesn't support that that's what those classes do for you. But I do know from personal experience and from having seen others that it does give you a boost in communication ability. And I think that there is some value to it. And I think like anything, you can take it to extremes and then you're damaging people, right? And because you asked about the hypnotizing element of it. And I don't think it's necessary to sit there for 2 straight hours, you know, staring at somebody in order to improve your communication skills. I think that's an extreme. I think that's ridiculous. And having done it many, many times, those 2-hour confronts, right? I just don't think that they were of value. You know, I don't think that those were necessary. And I think that there is a little bit of a trance hypnotic element that enters in when you're doing that. And I don't think that's healthy. So I wouldn't recommend that somebody do the professional TRs course. I wouldn't really have a problem with somebody doing the Success Through Communications course. I think those drills are generally helpful, you know, and I've said before that I think the lower level services of Scientology are mostly made up of common sense principles that people can apply in their life that they find helpful and useful. And those are the hooks that get people to then move over to the Division 4 major services and start getting the dangerous stuff. So that's my take on all of that. Barbara Miller. Chris, in regards to the ideal orgs, if hypothetically speaking, the majority of them couldn't pay their rent and utilities, and the upper offices had to bail them out, do you ever see one or any of these buildings being offered up for bankruptcy? Well, let me just correct one thing real fast, because the ideal orgs do not have to pay rent, as far as I know, unless somebody has information or evidence contrary to that. When the buildings are purchased, they're purchased and owned by the Church of Scientology International, and they don't charge rent to the lower churches. So that's one of the reasons why I think many of them are still open in the first place. From my time in Sea Org management of the Western United States, we had to bail out the lower churches all the time, right, before they were ideal orgs. I'm talking about Albuquerque, Hawaii, Salt Lake City, Valley, Church of Scientology, the Valley in Los Angeles, right? Santa Barbara. These orgs weren't making enough to pay their mortgage payments or pay their rent and keep the lights on, keep the doors open. So much less pay their staff. They were making minuscule amounts of money. And so we had to pay the difference in order to keep them open because we had threats of orgs closing all the time. So that was sort of the standard operating procedure for these small, struggling, failing churches. And it was always a problem. And so one of the problems that the ideal org thing solved, which I thought was pretty smart at the time, was the orgs would now have a stable building that they didn't have to pay rent in, right? So now all they have to do is keep the lights on, keep the air conditioning and the heating going, and you know, and keep the doors open, right? And they don't have to pay property tax because they're tax exempt. So really the expenses, I thought it was, from an organizational standpoint, I thought it was a pretty brilliant move, you know, having dealt with all those bailouts for all those years. Now, if this doesn't change the fact, though, that these ideal orgs get pretty small pretty fast, right? They open with big fanfare and hundreds of people, and oh my God, it's so amazing, and we're going to clear, you know, Italy now, and we're going to clear Las Vegas, and we're going to clear Minnesota, you know, and these things open up and everybody thinks it's all wonderful. And then you go back to them in a few weeks or a few months and the staff numbers have shrunk back down to like 20 or 30 people. And, you know, they're barely making any money at all. And they're, you know, so they're paying their utilities and they're not paying their staff as usual. And it's all just back to the same old, because while the ideal org strategy might resolve the fact that they don't have to pay rent anymore, it doesn't resolve anything else. And it certainly isn't attracting new people to Scientology, right? If anything, they just walk in, see these big, empty, you know, beautiful buildings and go, wow, these guys really do have a lot of money. And okay, bye, you know, and they're a bunch of weirdos and they leave. So, and you see that in article after article after article and stuff like that. So, so back to your question now directly of if they are making so little money that they can't even keep the lights on, right, then they're going to really have a problem, right? And management would then again have to bail them out. And I don't think you're going to see, well, let's just put it this way. When they start closing local city churches like the one here in Denver or, you know, Milan, Italy, or, you know, wherever, London or wherever, when they start actually closing the doors, man, that's it. It's game over for Scientology. I mean, literally, that is going to be the end of it because they don't, their number one policy with their churches is that those churches don't close ever, period, ever, right? Because that would be the ultimate sign of failure. And so the management levels would be demanded to pay to keep those churches open and keep the doors open for as long as possible. So, you know, do I ever see any of these buildings being offered up for bankruptcy when the church actually collapses? Yeah, but not until then. Not really. So that's kind of how that system works. Mandy Franks, with the push being to remove Scientology's tax exemption status, wouldn't it hurt the cause by continuing to refer to it as a church as opposed to a business? I'm not suggesting being disrespectful to those who follow Hubbard's teachings. However, if their actual practices are those of a for-profit business, then doesn't calling it a church create an issue when it comes to the purpose of removing the exemption? No, I really don't think it's that big of an issue. We're just talking about, you know, names now and calling it a church, calling it a business, calling it a this, calling it that. You're just throwing words around. I don't think it's really that big of a deal. I use the word church in reference to Scientology because that's what they call it. And so I think people will be coming to my channel and watching videos from the Church of Scientology. And if I'm just flat out, you know, it's a business, it's for profit and this sort of thing, which I kind of am in a lot of my videos, but I think if I took that additional step, I might just, alienate people who I don't want to alienate. I want people to watch my videos and think for themselves and get the wheels turning and maybe possibly leave Scientology as a result. And from the experience I've had and the messages and emails and things that I've received, I'm succeeding at that. So I want to continue. So that's why I call it a church. I've also referred to it as a for-profit business too, and I've referred to it as corporate Scientology and organized Scientology and that sort of thing. But I'll still use the word church, and I don't think that harms the cause particularly. It's flash answer time. John A. Chris, in all your years in Scientology, did you ever observe anyone who went from being a shy, introverted type person into someone who was a dynamic, influential communicator after having completed grade zero communications release? So this is in regards to the auditing. I talked extensively earlier in this video about the communications courses, but this question is actually about receiving auditing on grade zero, which is a set of processes that deals with communication. And the end result of it is supposed to be a person who can communicate with anyone about anything at any time. And no, I never saw once did I see somebody who was shy and introverted become, you know, exuberant and dynamic and out, you know, an outflowing, influential person as a result of doing grade zero. I never, ever saw that. HMXR. Do you know if Miscavige has any contingency plans ready if and when global sea level rise inundates Clearwater? No, I don't think that there are any such contingency plans. Doug Nichols. Chris, if I had enough cash, could I just walk in and say, okay, I want OT8? Could I just fast track myself with cash and get there in like 1 year? Is this possible? Nope, it is not possible. Not in any realm of possibility can you get to OT8 in 1 year. You could get yourself maybe to clear in a year, but there are a number of things they're going to throw at you and the number of services you're going to have to do and then eventually redo and all that is going to keep you on that hamster wheel for quite some time. And OT, and even if you like fast-tracked through clear and through the lower OT levels and just streamlined it to that, you'd hit OT7. And OT7 takes years. No one has ever completed OT7 in less than 2 or 3 years that I have ever heard of. And certainly not done it in less than a year. That I'm absolutely positive of. And now, these days, I mean, I know people who have been on OT7 for 15 years. So the idea of walking into Scientology with a bunch of cash, which they'll gladly take from you, and getting all the way up to OT8 in a year, it'll never happen. Wim, during your podcast with Joe Zimhart, he mentioned that a Scientologist had said to him that the religion was in some way related to Buddhism. Does Scientology claim to outsiders to be based partly on Eastern religions that believe in reincarnation, or is that just an isolated comment? By your reaction, it sounded like the former. Oh, definitely. No, Hubbard wrote a whole book called, like, Am I Matea or something, and was all about how he was the reincarnation of the Buddha. And, of course, he totally altered and just totally corrupted Buddhist lore and legend to make himself look like he was a reincarnation of Gautama Siddhartha Buddha. And the Scientology very much pushes that they are the East meets the West, right? With the Eastern religion and spirituality meeting the practicality and science of the West, and that this is what Scientology is supposed to be. So no, that's they're all about that. Nir Ketriel. Do you think there is a way to light up the eyes for a friend of mine that's still in Scientology, and how can I do it? I'm an ex-Scientologist. Well, I highly recommend that you listen to the podcasts and watch the videos I've made with Joe Zimhart and Rachel Bernstein and similar, you know, things, and also some of my other videos on how to talk to people who are still in destructive cult groups, because that's why I made those videos and did those interviews, is to answer this exact question, because it's the answer is long and involved. It is not a one-step deal or a simple one command that you give to somebody in order to get their eyes lit up and get them to go, oh, wow, I'm involved in something horrible. It takes time. It takes time to do that, and a lot of understanding and care and compassion. So watch those videos, and then you'll have a better idea of the answer to your question. Okay, and with that, we have reached the end of another episode of Critical Q&A. Answered a lot of questions this time. I think it went a bit longer than usual, and I really hope you enjoyed the answers that I gave here. And, you know, if you like what I'm doing and you think I should be continuing to do it, don't hesitate to throw some support my way through my Patreon campaign or otherwise. And definitely give me any comments, feedback, anything at all that you want to say to me in the comments on these videos. I do see them all, and I don't respond to all of them, of course, because I can't, but I do see everything. So thank you very much for watching. I'll see you guys next week.